welcome to another episode of Meeting Pros. I'm your host, Kevin Finn, and as usual, I have my lovely co-host next to me, Jessica Park. Welcome, Jessica.
Hey, Kevin.
How are things going? We're on Baby Watch 2013.
We're on Baby Watch 2013. This is going to be my last show for a minute, so
definitely
got to make it a good one.
A good one.
Not like that. I'm not breaking any Business Radio X experiences here today.
Gotcha. Yeah, that'd be a record. So.
Yeah.
But how was your Thanksgiving?
It was great. It was great. I didn't have to do anything. Imagine that. They're like, just show up.
Well, next
just
year,
lay there and
next
let us
year
feed
you can
you.
Hand the baby to someone else. You're like, no, I have to go work. Take this.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. We'll see how that works.
Exactly. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Well, we got a great show today. You brought on great guests as usual. So tell me about them.
Today we have Ashley Jones with Shutter Suite Photography. She also has some other projects that she's working on. And we have Mike Lesage with Bone Lick Barbecue. And we're going to start with Mike.
All right. Well, Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Let's give us, before we get into Bone Lick and how you got started with that, give us a little background into how you got started with all this kind of stuff in the food industry.
Well, I started working in restaurants when I was 16, and really never with the intention of doing it for very long.
That's the way it always is, really.
Yeah. Thought that I was going to, you know, be on the cover of Rolling Stone by 17. Then, like, 25 hit, and I realized, like, oh, I'm still not on the cover of that. So, kind of wound up taking the, you know, the good thing about working in restaurants is go out, you know, playing music, go out on tour for a while, and you could always come back and have a job to fall back
definitely.
On. And through the course of doing that for, you know, the better part of a decade, basically kind of got to a point where I realized I'd really gotten some skills along the way. And so when I wound up kind of hanging out the rock and roll hat a little bit, it was I kind of started focusing, taking you know, the restaurant business a little more seriously. And it went from there. It's something I've always been in and around, but probably not something I really started taking serious till, you know, mid to late 20s, and then really kind of jumped both feet in.
All right, definitely. Well, a lot of the restaurant owners we bring on here, we talk to them, they say you have to be a little crazy to start a restaurant. And when I ask, should I do it? They go, no, it's a terrible idea. So.
Yeah, no, it is. It's definitely takes a certain breed, and there's definitely people that are better at it than others. But yeah, it's full of whack jobs. Nobody in this business is completely sane.
All right, so why barbecue? Why did you go for Bone Lick?
When I first moved to Atlanta, I guess like 8-9 years ago, I had moved here with my band, didn't really know much of anybody, and so I started doing this party at my house called Meat Mondays is what we called it. And it was basically a bunch of people that were in bands, a bunch of people in the service industry, and, you know, started out, I would just, you know, play around with a bunch of different barbecue recipes, something that, you know, I'd love barbecue my entire life. Whenever we were out on tour, we always went to, you know, hit up the great legendary barbecue spots here and there.
Do you ever go to Maurice's?
I did. You get a little bit of barbecue, a little bit of racism.
Yep.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. You can taste the hate in every bite. But so we wound up throwing this party at my house that it wound up getting kind of out of control. It started out, the first one, we had 12 people there, and a year later, there were over 100 people showing up at my house every Monday night. I was going broke doing
it. I was about to say, like, were people giving you money, like
$5? No, not at all, you would think, you know.
That's why people were showing up right there, free barbecue.
Yeah, so, we, you know, it turned
all
into
all of a sudden, all the bands are showing up at your house.
Yeah. It was nuts. It was kind of like a youth hostel every Monday. But so, finally, we decided, one, I couldn't afford to keep doing it, so we... Our restaurant, Pachin, we decided to start doing a pop-up every Monday night in that restaurant because we were closed. So we moved it to Pachin, and as time went on, it just got busier and busier and busier, and finally we decided it was time for a brick and mortar, and that's when we started with Bone Lick.
So you guys were doing pop-ups before they were cool. Now they're all trendy.
Yeah, now it's the thing to do.
We're
definitely kind of on the forefront of that, but...
All right, so the 13-year-old kid in me has to ask, why did you come up with the name Bone Lick? So,
well, it's definitely it's kind of double edged. The where I got the actual
Careful.
Name, yeah. This is how much am I allowed to say on this show?
Now, we have no FCC guidelines.
Great, perfect.
Oh no!
Close your ears, kids. No, basically, when I was driving back and forth cross country, we would always pass by this place in Kentucky called Big Bone Lick Park.
Okay.
And I immediately was just like, that is the filthiest town name ever. I am going to open a restaurant with that name someday. And so that's kind of where it all started. And my business partners, it's funny, when we first started it up, they're like, we got to take the big off of that. I'm like, no, Big Bone Lick. They're like, yeah. That is too filthy. I'm like, so finally we wound up dropping the big, and they completely forgot about this. When we were opening the brick and mortar of Bone Lick, they
put the big.
They're
on
like
the
we
sign.
Should put the big on there, and I'm like, I that's what I said. And now we've been kicking ourselves ever since. But yeah, it's kind of, you know, it's got that double meaning. It's kind of fun. It's, and you know, everything about our menu over there is that way. You know, the names of the dishes. You know, we've got meat combos that are called the Ménage à Trois, and we've, you know, everything on it's a little dirty.
Okay, well, you could have like the big bone lick plate or the small bone lick plate.
Right, there right.
So how long have you guys been around? You guys have been around for a decent amount of time, right?
Well, as far as the actual place that we have in West Midtown now, that was about a year and a half ago when we opened that.
But, okay.
We started doing the pop-up nights, I guess it was about 4 years ago. Maybe 5 years ago.
5 years ago? Okay, all right.
Well,
so, I mean, it's been a trend right now. I know there's a lot of barbecue joints opening. I used to live in West Midtown. I never tried that. I know Smoke Ring just opened up where I live in Castleberry.
Yep.
So there's a lot of just barbecues, like the new, like, trendy burger joint kind of thing.
Kind of. You know, the thing about barbecues has been around forever.
I know.
I mean, it really is. It's one of the only truly kind of American food. Southern barbecue
really is
definitely its own thing. I get, you know, hamburgers, I guess, kind of were the same deal. The difference is the, and don't get me wrong, I love a good burger, and I actually
they're very hipster burgers.
So. Yeah, they are. I think the thing with barbecue, though, is there's always been a million barbecue restaurants around. You know, wherever you grew up in the South, there were always barbecue restaurants.
We had Fat Matt's here.
They're prevalent.
Atlanta,
so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fat Matt's has been around forever.
Definitely
has.
So how do you set yourself apart? I know we have some places like they have Hottie Hogs, Smoke Ring just open, you have Fat Matt's, and I don't know. I don't feel like there's really competition between people that do barbecue because it's just so different. I don't know if people realize every barbecue is a lot of different, but how do you guys set yourself apart?
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. Everybody has their own thing that they grew up on. Generally, that's kind of what you end up following, or the type of barbecue that you like. At Bone Lick, we kind of take a little bit more of a chef-driven approach. Everything is done completely from scratch. You know, the only thing we don't make in-house are our tater tots. But, I mean, everything down to the mayo, we, you know, everything is made in-house.
How do you make mayo? I felt like there was, like, mayo trees or something.
Lots of unicorn baby
dust.
Parts. And, yeah, fairy dust, yeah.
All right, perfect.
But, so, I mean, that's part of what makes us a little bit different. The other thing is we kind of have a big focus on our bar. You know, we have a great whiskey bar. A good whiskey selection and lots of moonshines and stuff like that. And then we threw in a bunch of vintage old school arcade games, you know, just kind
Very
of like
cool.
it's like Disney for grown-ups with bad
barbecue and
yeah,
whiskey
bad problems. Yeah.
So I've got to ask about this as a macaroni and cheesophile. How's your mac and cheese?
It's hands down the biggest seller that we have. We do a jalapeno mac and cheese
Ooh.
There. And then at night we have a bacon jalapeno mac and cheese on the late night menu. So
I do like jalapenos and I like mac and cheese.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
Very good. So let's talk about catering. You guys do catering, right?
We do a ton of catering, yeah.
Is that a whole different, like, separate business basically?
Kind of. You know, right now it's with Bone Lick being as new as it is in that location, we're it's kind of all mixed together, but as this next year rolls around, we have a lot of big fun plans for catering as to kind of change the experience that it is. You know, we do a lot of weddings, and as we get further along, we're trying to kind of be an, you know, one stop shop for everything. We work with a lot of different photographers. We work with a lot of different everything in the business, from florists. I mean, I used to own a floral shop, and my old business partner still runs that, so, you know, she'll be involved with stuff. We have a lot of DJs that we work with on a regular basis, so we're kind of right now working to kind of build
one-stop shop kind of thing.
That's it. You've got an event or you've got a wedding or whatever it is, we can take care of every aspect of it for
that
you.
Would be my ideal client, the one that wants barbecue and mac and cheese at their wedding.
That's right. Right there.
And that's the thing as well, though, awesome. Being that we have three different restaurants, we are able to do anything. It's not really limited to just barbecue, which right. is kind of another thing that will, in the catering side of things, be able to set us apart a little bit.
I'm seeing something for my fantasy football league. So
yeah,
I'm set that up.
There you go.
Moonshine and barbecue.
Moonshine and barbecue.
Or tailgating done right. Like, we've thrown a couple tailgating parties that have just turned out to be pretty epic. So,
definitely.
You know.
So you're the main chef there, right?
Yeah.
So how is that experience? How is it creating new dishes and doing that? And
that's, you know, we started doing a late night menu, and it was, I kind of did it for a selfish reason. We're not super busy late night, so I get a lot of time to hang out in the lab and make stuff. You know, it's a lot of fun. So
you will be, I would imagine.
Yeah, it definitely, yeah, it's gotten busier and busier. There's definitely less time for that, but I just end up staying there later. Like last night, I think we closed the kitchen at 1, but I didn't leave till 4 because I was just playing around in the kitchen. So
if I come in there late night, I can just be like, I want whatever Mike is making right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, there's always something. Yeah, there's last night, it was funny because I went and got a bunch of turkey legs and turkey drums. So last night I was just in the back doing all these different versions of turkey legs. So the regulars that hang out there, you know, they're all like, what's he doing back there now? Bringing out all these samples of everything. It kind of shoots me in the foot because we wound up not selling as much food because I'm giving half of it away, but it's fun.
Definitely. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, but they'll come back and they'll be like, is that turkey leg on the menu yet?
But we make up for that in whiskey money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how is it starting a restaurant and you're here out promoting it and everything and you're there a lot, obviously, but you have other people you've had to train to be able to cook as well as
absolutely.
You. You got to keep the taste all the same.
Yeah, the consistency is huge, especially in a barbecue restaurant. Mm-hmm. So. But yeah, I mean, that's the most difficult part of all of it, you know, staying on top of it, because you can't be there 24 hours a day, especially when you throw things like catering into the mix. You can't be there
definitely.
All the time. I mean, I'm working 90 hours a week, but I'm only in the restaurant maybe 60 hours a week, which still, it's a lot, but that's not all of the hours that we're open.
Definitely. You know? Do you have any franchise plans, any future plans for the restaurant, or is this like, I love this place, this is my home?
We're open to the idea. We're trying to figure out, we'd like to get a second location somewhere in Atlanta. Originally, we thought about doing another one in Athens or Savannah, and then we've had a couple of our British Indian friends that have hit us up to try and get one in London because there's no good barbecue in London.
That would be interesting.
Which that would be awesome. But I don't know. This year we're definitely going to be making some moves one way or the other. We haven't solidified just what yet, but as the year kind of comes to an end, we're kind of figuring out next year's game plan.
All right. How are you guys dealing with all this new social media stuff going on? And do you like it? Do you not like it?
I do like it. Okay. I do like it because it's kind of the only effective way of advertising anymore. I mean, doing print ad for a long time, it was just, it's turned into something that's just dead. It's a waste of money. And before you had social media where you could go out and do a lot of the stuff yourself or have, you know, people doing it for you, your only option that you saw was doing radio ads or doing print ads. And, you know, the print side of stuff, it's not there.
Yeah.
And so it's nice actually having something that, you know, you can constantly be changing who you're marketing to on an hourly basis, you know.
It's good for us ADD folks.
That's it. Yeah, absolutely. And you can actually, you know, it's something you actually can see a return from.
Definitely.
So yeah, I love it.
So let's talk about the awards you've won for your barbecue.
Before we do that, our next project that we're working on, which is even better than any award, we are working on sending barbecue into space right now. So, yeah.
Okay, talk more to that. That sounds awesome.
Video of these people. I don't know where they're at. It was definitely across the pond somewhere, but these people that sent a weather balloon up with this little toy robot.
Yeah,
have you guys seen this?
Yeah, I've seen that.
And so immediately I turned to one of the guys that I work with, one of my best friends, this guy Jonathan, and I was like, this is what we have to do. We have to send Bonelick to space. I think we can do this. So it was literally 10 minutes later, we're both on Amazon ordering weather balloons and trying to figure out how we're going to GPS track everything.
But I think you would be the first person to actually do that. It'd be huge.
I think the first barbecue in space is going to be massive.
Definitely. Yeah. You should also have like a $100 or $1,000 barbecue sandwich just on your menu. So you're the only people out there that have it.
But yeah.
Someone would eventually buy it, sprinkle diamonds on it or something. I don't know.
Well, we just recently did there's a burger cook-off. I can't remember the name of it, but we wound up doing it was the Fancy White Trash Trailer Park Millionaire burger. So it was like a smoked barbecue burger, ooh, but topped with like homemade cheese whiz, truffle cheese whiz,
wow,
a little bit of caviar, some baby arugula. It was ridiculous. It was definitely kind of like the $100 slider, probably.
I don't know why. It makes me think of, like, I want to see, like, a sitcom about that, like the really wealthy trailer park people, like the King.
Pretty sure that exists.
That would be
Moonshiners.
Awesome.
Have you seen that show? That Those guys are all rich.
How do they do that show without getting in trouble? I think
it's all rigged.
Sure it is.
The main guy Tim that's on that show now, his moonshine just became legal, right? He just came out with a legal version. And he did his first night of it being legal at Pachin, one of our other restaurants.
Oh.
And so hung out with that guy all night long. And I kept asking him how much of it's contrived. And he wouldn't really say one way or the other. But, there's no way that that's all real.
No, it's impossible.
Yeah.
So. All right. So what is next for Bone Lick? What do you guys
Aside
say?
From
to the moon.
Going to the moon,
besides
yeah.
going to the moon.
I just said that. Are you listening? Are your headphones working?
The next thing is eating it in the moon. So
that's it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's right.
And the awards that you've got?
We've won the best collard greens in the city. We've won the Hogs and Hops best barbecue competition. Those are really kind of, I think, the big ones. There's been a couple other little ones.
He's so humble, Jessica.
Yeah.
Super humble guy. So
until he goes to the moon, then he's going to come back and be like,
I'm
the guy.
Then I'm in everybody's
face. I'm that guy.
Yeah. Your barbecue being in the moon?
Diamonds on my sandwiches and moon for my burger.
All right. So let our listeners know your contact information and where you guys are located.
We are Bone Lick Barbecue is located at 1133 Huff Road in Atlanta, Georgia. That's in West Midtown off of Howell Mill. And the website is bonelickbarbecue.com. And we are on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on all the gadgets.
And it's all just Google Bone Lick and see what
that's
you get.
It, yeah.
So make sure your filters are
also, if you have children, we have a sandwich. It's a challenge sandwich that we do called the Fat Ass Muff. It's like the 6-pound sandwich. It's absolutely ridiculous. And we've had a number of people finish. It's pretty impressive. If it's called the Fat Ass Muff Challenge, it's done on a giant kind of muffalata roll.
I found
out very quickly there was this old couple sitting in the restaurant, and they're like, what is this Fat Ass Muff? It just says on the menu, ask us about the Fat Ass Muff. And I'm like, well, here. And I pull out my phone, because the lady asked if she could see a picture of it.
Oh,
so I immediately,
Googled
Fat Ass Muff, and you would be surprised.
I don't think I would.
It was filthy.
I had no idea.
I was like, and I've been telling people to just Google it when they want to look at it, and I'm wondering how many people we chased off. They're like, where are they keeping her chained up? You know? So, yeah. So don't Google that. Well, or Google it. Either way, have fun with it.
Whatever. Well, thank you so much for being on the
Absolutely.
Show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
I have to come down. I just moved from West Midtown, and I didn't even know your restaurant was there.
Yeah.
So
join the club.
I'm going to go check it out and get some barbecue. I love barbecue.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, next up on Meeting Pros, last but not least, we have Ashley Nicole Jones with Shutter Suite Photography. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So give us a little backstory also about yourself. How did you get into photography? How did you decide you wanted to make that your profession?
I was at Clemson University studying graphic communications, which translates mostly to print design.
Okay.
And took a trip to Ukraine as a documentary photographer for a 2-week trip.
How do you get that? How do you go? You're like, I'm doing design, but okay, Ukraine photography, I'm there.
So I found an artist's mission trip sort of thing where they had think like 6 or 7 artists go to Ukraine with the purpose of helping orphans and, painting murals and teaching the
Very
kids
cool.
arts and crafts and stuff like that. And my friend actually is the one who came up to me who found out about this and said, Ashley, you have to do this. And I was like, no, I'm not interested. And she's like, no, really, I think this would be a great fit for you. And so I went and talked to the people and they asked, like, what are you interested in? And I said, well, I'm really only interested in photography. I can't draw for anything. So, like, don't stick a paintbrush or a pencil in my hand. But I can do photography, and I'd love to photograph the trip if you need one. So they came back, and they said, well, we're going to Ukraine or Bosnia, and we would love to have a documentary photographer for either trip. And I had tried to go to Bosnia in high school, but my mom freaked out and wouldn't let me.
Because it was called Bosnia. And...
Yeah, because it was called Bosnia. And there might have been like a bomb mentioned with the name like around that time. So I was like, well, Ukraine will probably go over better. So I looked into the details, signed up, raised money, and got over to Ukraine in the summer of 2005.
All right, very cool.
And yeah, it was great. It was a lot of fun. I was able to help out with some arts and crafts projects and just get to know the kids and the language and the culture there. And after the ArtsLink team left, I actually ended up staying an extra month with the long-term team that lived there.
Okay.
And took pictures for them, documented their soccer camps and other kids' camps, and did a few projects for them that they wanted to accomplish, like having a map with all the pictures of churches mm-hmm. around town and stuff. And so, yeah, that was very a very neat experience for me. And that's when I realized my passion was telling stories through pictures.
Okay, very cool. So explain to me how this works, how you go about documenting a process like this. Because when I think of documentary, I think of films and all that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. But how does the photography aspect play into it?
It's very similar to a documentary film. So pretty much I will go along throughout the whole process and just take pictures of events happening. They just won't be a fluid story. It will be more of just a snapshot image here. Or, you know, it could be a really impactful image of a certain event or something like that. But I actually just recently went to Africa for a documentary project following a documentary film that's being made. And it's called Imba Means Sing. Okay. And that was really cool because the film crew was there and they were doing all of the interviewing and the actual documenting through video. But for me, I did my best to stay out of their way, like obviously not get in the shot. And then also,
yeah, they'll let you know if you're in the shot. I was in that industry yeah. for quite a while.
And they'll let you know if they can hear your shutter sound going
Definitely.
Off. But that was what was really cool about that project was for the documentary film, while they were interviewing, you know, I was around the corner playing with all the kids, trying to keep them away from the cameras and entertained.
Very cool.
And they were, you know, giving me these amazing faces to take pictures of. So
yeah, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
So, all right. So you go through that whole experience. You're like, man, I love doing this. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, you know what? I don't want to work for anyone else. I want to start my own company. Talk about that.
Yeah. So I, in college, had to do two internships with my degree. And early on, during the internships, I worked for two different companies and just realized, one, that I really hate political BS of kissing up to whoever's your boss and, like, having people backstab you to try and get ahead, and just hated the whole environment of Definitely. The corporate world. And then, secondly, I just saw a lot of... really just bad behavior. I don't know what else to call it, that I just knew I didn't want to be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be greed or taking advantage of clients or just not producing the best quality. I just really wasn't happy with the things that I had seen. And so I actually, while I was in college and had done those internships, worked for... signed up to get my business administration minor.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have the marketing, finance, and that yeah. kind of stuff. So I took a job right out of school as a graphic designer. And again, this time I worked for a smaller company, thinking like maybe if it's a smaller family-run business.
Yeah.
And that didn't work out. And then I went and worked for a web design and development company because I knew that print was dying and I needed to learn the web side of stuff. And... through learning coding and SEO and other things, once I got to the point where I could learn it on my own and was capable of doing things on my own, I was like, peace out. I'm starting my own business.
Why don't sure I hate you guys? Why
yeah.
you guys? I deserve
once
all
I
the money.
Well, and it wasn't even about the money necessarily as
just
much
the independence.
As
independence. Yeah.
The independence and not having people treat you like crap and not having people... take advantage of you or not pay you what you're worth. Like I looked at my, part of the reason why I quit that job was I looked at my total earnings for the year at the at the end of the tax season, and I was like, are you kidding me? Like, is this
probably,
really
you
all
bled I paid? And sweat and like you probably stayed after hours to help them out with stuff and
well and yeah and it was just one of those things that over the jobs that I had I knew there were things that I wanted to do different to make a job enjoyable for me and for other people, but then also any employees that I had, I wanted to treat them right. I wanted to provide the best for my clients. I wanted basically to do it the right way. So,
okay. Well, let's talk about that. So you've gone out on your own. You started your own company. You've got you've got the skills to do it. You feel confident in it. How was that process? So is it tough? Do you have employees now? How long have you been doing it?
Yeah, I started, well, when I quit the web design and development job, that was in 2007, maybe?
I'm not, it doesn't matter. I'm not good with dates either.
Cool. so right after I quit, the plan was to start my business right then. And shortly after that, I found out I was pregnant. And so I was like, oh, that kind of changes things.
Definitely.
And so, you know, I took 9 months to kind of build up a client base and did some graphic design work with existing clients that I had been working with. And after, you know, after I had my daughter, the plan was to, you know, like put her with the grandparents and then get back to work. And then at 2 months old, we found out that she was diagnosed with a terminal illness.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. And so that was also a game changer where it was like, okay, like career plan goes on hold and like I'm a stay-at-home mom and full-time caregiver now. So she actually ended up passing away at 21 months old.
Sorry to hear that also.
Yeah. And after that, like because I had put so much time and energy into taking care of her and just having life with her, I knew it was going to be a really hard transition into the grief of losing her. And so when I saw her getting worse, I told my husband, I was like, I need to have a business to pour my energy into just to keep me going. And so I actually started two companies. So one caters to medium small to medium-sized businesses for graphic design, corporate photography, and marketing. And then the other is Shutter Suite Photography, which is telling stories through weddings and portraits and events.
Okay. Well, since we're talking about Shutter Suite today, talk about all the events you do. Who are your clients that you want to have? Like you just said, you do events, weddings. And are you just there to capture the whole moment?
Yeah, our goal as a company is to tell stories and create artwork for people. So our client is not the client who just wants a disk of images of a bunch of snapshots of whatever that event was. Our goal as a business is to tell stories in a way that create artistic images that people will want to put on their wall at home or have a really nice album, or we offer a lot of unique products like acrylic blocks and acrylic prints and more high-end stuff.
All right. Very cool. So how do you set yourself apart? There's a lot of photography companies out there, and there's a lot of people that think they can be photographers.
They all have the cameras and the gear.
Yes.
Exactly. And they're like, well, if I take enough pictures, I'm going to get a good one. So how do you compete with that? And I know you talked about you do a lot of SEO and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, that's the great thing is I'm able to design the website and work on the SEO and everything. But as a company, I mean, one of the things when I started was, again, like I just wanted to do things the right way. Like I'm all about excellence in whatever it is that I do. So for me, it was producing an excellent quality for my clients. So one thing that sets us apart is the level of care that we give to all of our clients. So from the first phone call until the final delivery of the album or whatever product they decide to order, it's very much like a a client-focused experience. The other thing is just the quality. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like all the DSLR cameras look the same. So, you know, someone shows up with a Canon Rebel versus a 5D Mark III. Most people won't be able to tell the difference, but you'll see the difference in the image quality. And we have all top of the line equipment. I've continued my education through different workshops and studying under different professionals and making sure that I'm staying on top of everything and learning new techniques, which can also be seen in the image results.
Very nice. So what's next for you guys? What's your what do you want to accomplish with this company?
Yeah, well, one thing that I started when the company was founded is the Photography Gives Back program.
Okay, tell me a little bit about that.
It's a program that we started knowing that businesses can be very profitable, mm-hmm. But not a lot of businesses choose to give those profits back. And in the photography industry, there's really not a lot of costs once you've gotten yourself established. Like there's a cost of goods and there's a cost of equipment. And a lot of the cost is more time and editing and then you have your basic business runnings like insurance and rent and stuff like that. But one thing I knew is that I had the potential to make a lot of profit. And mm-hmm. so one thing that I wanted to do was offer a portion of the proceeds back to different organizations in the community that were helping. So, for example, for every family or kids session that mm-hmm. we do, we donate a portion back to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta.
Oh, that's very great.
So, like, newborns and maternity sessions, we donate to Save the Storks. So we try and pick nonprofit organizations that are related to the type of session that we do.
Definitely. Do you have anyone else that partners up with you or has sort of helped out with the program?
Not yet. We are definitely open to that. you know, like our goal is to encourage other people to be excited about giving too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, coming back from Africa, the documentary film was about the African Children's Choir.
So you just got back. You still travel to different countries and you just got back from Africa.
I just got back from Africa the day before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So one thing that the organization that we got to witness and learn about there was the African Children's Choir. And that organization is so impressive and an organization that I hope to donate to in the future personally, but I'm trying to figure out if there's a way that we can help as a business as well.
Okay.
So it's just they're super responsible. They educate children who wouldn't normally be able to get an education, and then they in return go back into their community and become leaders and make a difference. It's really neat.
All right. So what advice would you give to anyone that wants to be you? They say, hey, I want to start my own photography company. You know, I'm not really enjoying the corporate life, and sure. I like taking pictures. I'm good. I got an Instagram. I can throw mm-hmm. filters. So
yeah. I've had a couple people assist me wanting to, you know, test out to see if they want their own company. And honestly, I would the first advice I would have would be to assist someone who's doing what you want to do. Because there's a lot more to it than meets the eye. A lot of people think that you just go and take pictures for a wedding and make, you know, $3,000 and then don't have to do anything after it and you get to keep all that $3,000.
Yeah, if you want to do that, be a radio host. But you get paid in sticker bars instead. So,
so one thing, you know, just learning the back end of it, like mm-hmm. You spend a whole week editing. You have to place orders. You have to deal with clients. You have, you know, taxes and all the business, the marketing, stuff like that. People don't usually see until they're already in it, and sometimes for them it's too late. They've already wasted money starting a business or, you know, attempting mm-hmm. to do that.
Well, it's always better to learn from someone else's scar tissue than your own mistakes.
Definitely.
So do you have any stories or anything when stuff normally goes wrong, doesn't it? If it can't go wrong, it will go wrong, right? So do you have any stories of an event that something went wrong and how you fixed it or?
Well, the first one that comes to mind is my own wedding. I woke up that morning. The hot water at the hotel that I was staying at was broken. Oh. So I didn't even get to take a shower that morning.
Do you want to shout out the hotel? Just burn them.
No, it's okay. But they, yeah, they, that was rough. So then I go to get my hair done, my non-washed hair, and then get to the wedding ceremony place. And my, I had left my face wash at home. So I borrowed my friend's face wash and I put it on and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is burning my skin. And so I like quick rinse it off and I was like, okay, whew, like everything looks okay. We're good. I start getting my makeup applied and whatever was in the makeup started reacting with whatever was left in the face wash that was in my skin. And I just got this flaming red rashy beard like all on my jawline. And it was like 30 minutes before we were supposed to walk down the aisle. And I was like, oh gosh, I was like, this is burning and this is not good. And
but don't worry, you know Photoshop, so you can fix all the pictures, right?
So I'm like trying to not freak out. All my friends are like, no one give her a mirror. And I'm like, it's not that bad, right?
Oh man.
My friend runs out to her car and gets Benadryl. And I was like, great, so I'm gonna be yawning during my ceremony. But it actually cleared it up and like 5 minutes before I was supposed to walk down the aisle, but I didn't have any makeup on at all because I was afraid to put any more on, which my husband actually preferred, which was nice. He thought I did it for him, but, and then like, I mean, and I try and I use that story with brides when stuff goes wrong. Mm-hmm. We had, like one bride, you know, forgot the send off like favors or, you know, had like her dress ripped or something, or, you know, there are always little things that go wrong. And so I share my story with brides and say, look, like it can always be worse. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, you're still going to be married. You're still going to have great pictures and, you know, life goes on.
Right.
Yeah. So even though it seems like a big deal,
we've had some crazy stories about brides and things happen.
Yeah.
Especially never go to the venue Frogtown Cellars ever.
Ooh,
so
okay.
We had someone throw wine on the bride there and the owners were very terrible to the whole wedding party and everything. So
the family, everybody.
Since I have no guidelines here, I always shout them out and tell people do not go there. So because I was just absurd. So
I think the most recent one that was a little crazy, which I won't mention the venue because they handled it really, really well. But they double booked.
Whoa.
Yeah. And so I went to the venue for so one way that we're different is that we do a pre-wedding walkthrough with every bride. And she can bring as many people as she wants for that walkthrough. But what we do is I'm there and then any assistant or second shooter will be there with me. And we'll walk through the venue together so we can look at lighting. We can look at placement, and I'll share photo ideas of like, oh, I think this is going to be beautiful. What do you think? You know, we make sure we're all on the same page, and that's proven to be so helpful. But
the other team was there.
No. So we're doing the walkthrough, and the owner of the venue was not like extremely friendly. And I was like, man, like, I don't know. Normally, you know, people are really friendly. Like, what's going on? So I left because the venue owners went to my couple and said, hey, we need to meet. So this was a week before the wedding.
Oh, man.
That's when they found out that it was double booked. So there was no room to get a new venue or change it. And so I get a phone call 2 hours later from my bride. Who's like, oh my gosh, you're not going to believe what just happened. So she tells me that, you know, the other couple came to meet them and they kind of talked about like where, like how to compromise basically. And obviously the venue gave them some money back and comped them on certain areas.
I would have given them all the money back.
I know. And it was, yeah, I was really surprised there wasn't like a cat fight or something, because it was a beautiful venue and both people had planned to use the venue for the ceremony and reception.
Oh wow.
But only one person got to use it for the reception because, and luckily it worked out that both people got to use it for the ceremony. We just staggered the times a little bit more. But it was pretty intense, and the two families were very different. So, like, the venue space was big enough to hold two large parties, thankfully. There's tons of acreage, but there were definitely, like, prettier
overlaps
parts.
Overlaps.
Well, and there were prettier parts of the venue and, like, just okay parts of the venue that, you know, people had to compromise. And, yeah, overlaps of, you know, their family leaving and then my couple's family coming in and...
Right.
It was a little crazy, but it turned out all right. So
very cool.
It's part of the industry. You just have to troubleshoot and like get everybody through it.
Yep. So.
All right, Ashley. So how do our listeners reach out, hire you to capture their most precious moments?
Yeah, you can check out our website at shuttersweetphoto.com. My number for the business is 678-521-5068. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest. If you just search for Shutter Suite, and it's SWEET.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you.
And to both of you, it was a great show. Great job again, Jessica. Always bringing great guests.
Yeah. I have to ask, Mike, did you have barbecue at your wedding? I know you recently got married.
No, I didn't.
No?
No. She was probably, that was probably banned. Like, she was like, no barbecue.
I think she probably would have been fine with it. We had a very non-traditional wedding. It was epic. But no, we had the Muff Buff, which was different. And then we had an oyster bar. Yeah. It was great.
Very good. Nice. All right.
Yeah. Sounds awesome.
All right. Well, before we wrap up here, I want to check in with Jessica. We got Baby Watch going on, and we also have your Adventurepreneurs group that I always check in.
Yeah. Adventurepreneurs is doing good. It's kind of self-sufficient at this point, which is good because I'm going to be taking a little bit of a sabbatical here in a minute. But it's a great place for event industry people to find events going on and fill needs that may be needed. So, yeah.
All right.
Thanks.
Well, this is Kevin Finn for Jessica Park, our guest today, and Baby Watch 2013, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next month on,
right.
on Meeting Pros.